So Luke chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 26. You remember I said that we were going to be looking at the real angels of Christmas. So this is a second of the angels. Last week it was the angel speaking to Zechariah about the birth of his son, John. And this week it's Gabriel again speaking, this time to Mary. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Pray that God will add his blessing to his word. In fact, let's just pray together before we consider it together. Lord, as we read these accounts of what happened nearly 2,000 years ago, we're just so conscious that they're familiar to us, and therefore it's easy just to pass them by as if it was just an ordinary thing that we've just read. And so we pray that as we think about it, as we reflect upon it, you would work by your Spirit and not just open up afresh the reality of what was going on though in those days, but Lord, also how that you might be speaking to us today through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in many ways, this sort of passage, it feels a bit like, you know, at this time of year, if you're sitting in the park, at the car park in Teesside Park, or you're sitting outside Asda, you'll see people staggering out of the shop with like bags and bags of shopping. And this sort of chapter is just bulging with things to say or things to think about. I guess it's like a Christmas shopping present trip, because so many of the things that are in those bags are things that are precious, things that are like special. It's not just an ordinary shop to go and buy yourself some socks. It's buying gifts. It's buying things with lots of thought and love. And so the bags are bulging with special gifts and presents. And similarly, if you go to a food shop now, yes, I guess there'll be some bread and milk and the normal things, but it won't be long before people will be bringing out, and they probably already are, bringing out of the shop all the special things that they want to celebrate Christmas with, all the festive things that they're going to eat. Perhaps something they don't eat at any time of year. Perhaps you've already done that, bought some things that you don't buy at any other time of year, but you've bought them specially for Christmas. And in other words, what I'm saying, the passage is like a bag of blessings. There's so many things here that are joyful, things that are good for us to think about. And in fact, some of the blessings that Mary heard from this angel weren't just the sort of thing that you'd hear once a year or even once in a lifetime. Some of the things that she heard were once in eternity things. Blessings that she would experience that no one else in all eternity would ever experience. The angel said some things to Mary that will never be repeated to another human being in all eternity. And you know what? We must, I think, just admit with a little bit of a confession that sometimes as Protestants, we can be perhaps overcautious about speaking about Mary. We see perhaps erroneous doctrine and stuff that emphasizes Mary as someone that we perhaps should go to and pray. And certainly that's not what we're saying. But there is something about this woman as she receives this promise that we should really honor her and thank God for her. And also begin to see how it impacts our lives even today. Mary's a young woman. Some people think probably even a young teenager. She was living in Galilee. She was living in a place called Nazareth, which, like in those days, we get the sense from the rest of the Gospels, was a bit of a sort of a northern outback. You know, you might say that some of the southerners might think that Loftus is a bit like that. You know, it's sort of like out of the way. It's sort of like that they're a rough lot up there, as you sometimes hear them say down south. That's where she was, in like a small city, nothing very special about it. We're told that she had never slept with a man in her life. She was a virgin. But she was engaged to be married to a man called Joseph. And there's something a little bit special about him, because he was a descendant of King David. Now, King David had lived about 1,000 years before, so he would have had a lot of descendants, but he was one of them, a descendant of King David. And so into this obscure, mundane sort of life, this young woman suddenly has this experience of an angel visiting her. And Gabriel comes with a bulging bag full of surprises and blessings. And all we're going to do this morning is briefly just consider the blessings that he brought. Firstly, there's four things I want to say this morning. Firstly, it's that God is with Mary. It's one of the first things he says. God is with you. God is with Mary. This is from verses sort of 28 to 30. Let me just read to it, verse 28. And he came to her and said, first words, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." What an amazing greeting. I was trying to think back of like a time in my life where someone has greeted me in such a way that it sticks in my mind even now. Perhaps you can think of a time when you've got somewhere or arrived somewhere, a long journey, or just seen someone you haven't seen for a long time, or a long lost friend, or a brother or sister you haven't seen for a long while. And just the greeting that you receive when you saw them sticks in your mind. And this is what the angel says as he speaks. "Mary, you're a favoured one. God is with you." He doesn't say, "Mary, you're highly respected by God. You're full of grace. And I want you to give grace to others." But he does see there's something about her that God is blessing. Something about her. God's saying, "My grace is upon you. My favor is upon you. Mary, you're to receive such a blessing of God's unmerited favor." I think it would be true to say, wouldn't it? How could anyone ever have the same sort of blessing and favor from God that she had? What a blessing. And so clearly, we're never going to be blessed in exactly the same way as Mary. We're never going to know God with us in exactly the same way that Mary did. If you think about what she did, having the Son of God inside of her, we're never going to have that experience. We're never going to have the experience of being a parent of the Son of God growing up in the world. Truly, she did have God with her in a way that we will never have. But there is a very real sense in which every Christian, everybody that puts their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus, is favoured by God. And there is a real sense, a very real sense, in which God is with us in a very special way. Think about it for a minute. What greater thing could you wish for Christmas? You know, I don't know, some of you young ones, what you might be thinking about Christmas and what presents you might get. Perhaps some of the older ones too, secretly just wondering what you might get for Christmas. But what greater gift could we have, if we haven't got it already, than to know God's favour upon us and to know God's with us, God's presence with us? You know, that's true of all God's people. If you're a child of God, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, if you've been born again of his Spirit, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus, then you can say, I am favoured by God and God is with me. There'll be no presents that you get this Christmas that will be as wonderful as that gift. And I guess, to this announcement, it's quite understandable that Mary was a bit taken aback. She says, doesn't she? But she was greatly troubled, verse 29, at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And as the angel continues, the first thing he says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. I wonder if you know that God is with you this morning. I wonder if you know his favour is upon you because of what he's helped you to see and understand in Jesus. If you haven't, then reach out to him. Reach out to him in faith. Ask him to show you. Ask him to make you his own. Ask you to give you faith, to trust in his Son. Because you truly can know this joy and this blessing. So, firstly, God is with Mary. Secondly, God has something to announce to Mary. God has something to announce to Mary. This is from verses 31 to 33. Now, you could say that these few verses, 31 to 33, are like the core message. This is what the angel came to say. All the other bits around it, you could say, well, that's sort of incidental. But what he says in verses 31 to 33 is the key message. If you're a bit like me, I'm not the biggest reader in the world. And I find when someone's really flowery and really wordy, it just loses me a bit, right? So I'm a sort of a bullet point sort of person. I know some people just can't bear the thought of it, but yeah, it's the beauty of prose doesn't quite do it for me. I just like to see what you're saying. And there's the bullet point. And that's what we've got here. He brings the core message. What is it he says? Let's just read it. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I suppose you could summarize it completely by saying, Mary, you are going to have a baby, and this is one special baby. Breaking it down into perhaps three bullet points. What's he announcing to Mary? He's announcing to Mary that you're going to have a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus. And we're going to think tonight, the name Jesus means Saviour, Rescuer, Deliverer. So he's saying, you're going to have a baby. Very special baby. This baby is going to be a deliverer, a rescuer. Secondly, this baby is going to be the Son of the Most High. It says it again at the end of verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The Son of the Most High, or the Son of God. This child is worthy of worship. A son of God, the Son of God, to be worshipped. So he's a rescuer, he's to be worshipped, and he is also the eternal king. Can you imagine what she's thinking as he's saying this stuff? This baby that's going to be born from your womb, Mary, is going to be not just a king, not just any king, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is going to reign on a throne forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I mean, it would be an astounding thing, wouldn't it, for someone to say to any of the women here, but you're going to have a baby, and your baby's going to be king. You think, whoa. That's a pretty amazing message. But not just any king, this king is the King of Kings eternally. Wonderful promises, unimaginable, mysterious promises. Now again, clearly, when we think about how this might apply to us, we're never going to get the promise or the announcement that Mary got. We're not going to give birth to Jesus. But we do hear from God. You might say, well, I have not heard an angel ever come to me. Perhaps some people have. But we've also all got these. This is God's word. This is God's message. This comes with the same authority as if Gabriel had stood in front of you and announced something from God. And in the Bible, we find wonderful promises. We find unimaginable things. We find things promising to us that we still think are just mysterious. How could that possibly happen? But what we're encouraged, and we'll see later in Mary's response, is to be people who look at God's promises and hear, read, listen, believe. That we might be people who are rescued by Jesus. That we might be people who worship Jesus. That we might be people who obey him as the King of Kings. So God is with Mary. God has something to announce to Mary. Thirdly, God has an encouragement for Mary. Verses 34 to 37. Understandably, you know, Mary was just a little bit baffled. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never slept with a man. How could I have a baby? It's worth pointing out here, I think there's something different with her question than with Zechariah. Do you remember in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 18, Zechariah said, when he'd been promised a baby from his wife and they were very old, he said, how shall I know this? And from what's said afterwards, that he says that in real doubt, thinking it's impossible, thinking that this can't be true. But there must be something in Mary's answer as she speaks to the angel, which is in faith. I don't understand how this can happen. Perhaps trusting the words, but not quite sure how it could happen. And Gabriel explains that there's going to be a miraculous conception, a virgin birth. That this child is going to be a miracle from God. And because of that, the baby will be called Holy, the Son of God. It says, verse 35 and 36, and the angels answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be called Holy, the Son of God. And even goes on to say about Elizabeth. And then in verse 37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. You see, now what we talked about earlier, something just seems impossible to Mary. How could that be? I'm a virgin. How could I conceive and bring forth a child? And the answer is, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. I wonder if you need to hear that today. I wonder if there's some situation in life that you're just struggling with or feeling it's just impossible. You don't know what to do. Perhaps you just need to hear and be reminded that nothing is impossible with God. Perhaps you want to believe God. Perhaps you want to live for him. But you just can't see how he could even accept you. Or you can't see how he could change you. Perhaps you're just facing a situation, a challenge that seems too hard. I don't know, your physical health, your mental health, a relationship problem, guilt with sin, questions about the future, doubts about the government, I don't know, whatever it is that you're feeling. The word to us today is, remember that nothing is impossible with God. Lastly then, God receives a beautiful response from Mary. Verse 38. It's a lovely verse, isn't it? Mary said, in response to all this, being told that there's this amazing promise that she can't work out how it's going to happen. She's been told, but nothing's impossible for God. And she says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a wonderful response. A willingness, a humility, an acknowledgement that she was just a servant of God and was willing to allow anything to happen to her that God wanted. I wonder if already, I don't know, perhaps she'd begun to process what this would mean. No doubt there was shame attached to it. You know, an unmarried woman with a baby. Perhaps embarrassment. How would she explain it to Joseph? What would she say to her family? But she was willing to say, just let it happen to me. I'm your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And I guess there's a question for us there as we think about application is, how do we respond when we hear God speaking to us through his word? When we hear his promises, or when we hear his challenges into us, how do we respond? How do we how do we relate to him? What do you do when you feel that God is saying to you to stop something? Or when you feel that God is saying to you, you need to start something? How do you react when you read in the Bible and it becomes plain that something in your life needs to change? How do you respond when you sense that God is pushing you in a particular direction? I wonder if we could say, what a wonderful thing it would be to say, is, or to be able to respond in the way that Mary did. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Not counting the cost. Not thinking, well, I can't go down there because I'll look stupid. Or I'm not going down that route because I'll lose face because I've been saying something else. Just being willing to say to God, "Have your way in my life. Whatever it costs, whatever people laugh at me, whatever they think, however hard it is, whatever sort of challenges it's going to bring, I want to do it your way, God." And I guess that's a wonderful way to end, really, is just to ask God to help us to respond as servants listening to a master. Mary was hearing the message of God through an angel. And so she responded in the right way. This message is from God. I must do what he says. And what a need we have in our own hearts to respond in the same sort of way. So I wonder, how will you respond this morning? You know what? You will all respond. We always respond, don't we? Whenever we hear God's word, we respond. We either accept and believe and trust it, or we say to God, even if we don't say anything, we just walk the other way. Remember again the key things that we've been told about Jesus, that he is a saviour, rescuing us from our sin. He is the Son of God to be worshipped. He is an eternal King to be obeyed. And it's impossible to hear those things without responding. You either leave the building in him or outside of him. You're either rescued by him or you're still in perilous danger. You either worship him or you put him down. You either obey him or you ignore him. And so the call again is just to reach out to Jesus in faith for salvation and in worship and in obedience. Luke, in his gospel, is only, what, two pages in, not even two pages in my Bible, and he's already got to the very heart of the gospel. Might we have the same attitude as Mary? Simply saying, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this incredible passage full of blessings and many, I guess, we haven't even touched on. But the words, even though they're short sentences, are so full of meaning and so rich. And whilst we won't ever have the same experience of Mary, Lord, we do today hear from you. We do today open the Bible and hear what you say. We do have challenges brought to us, questions asked of us, a searching of our hearts. And you do show us the way in which we should live, how we should respond to Jesus. And we pray that we might be people who yield, just like Mary, acknowledging that you're our master and we are just servants. And we need to say to you, just let it be to me according to your word. Please help us in this, we pray. Grant us the faith that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.